Thank you. Thank you. Man. I knew it would be good, but whoa. Thank you so much. Thank you. And you kind of, I saw what you did there with the, changes. Yeah, I saw what you did. When Julie kindly emailed me a few weeks ago and said, is there any particular music you'd like to have on your last Sunday? I just went blank. And then that one came to me because that's one I can put on and doesn't matter how I'm feeling, it takes me somewhere else, like it did just now. So, wow. And I think we've got another good one coming in a little bit. I don't know how to feel today. I've never retired before. So I don't know how that feels. I stepped away from ministry a few years ago to raise my kids, and it was kind of a strange place to be. I loved doing what I was doing with my kids. I was involved with their activities and their school and you know, my home life, and it was rich and it was good. And I still did ministerial things. I still did weddings and memorial services, and I blessed people's babies in their homes and things like that. And then when I came back here, it was kind of the renaissance of my work. And what a way to end things. I left one other job in my life that I really loved when I left it, and that's when I left teaching so that I could go to ministerial school. And so I am trusting that the decision to step away now for retirement will open up another space as beautiful and generous as the space of walking into ministry has been in my life. So if you're doing all the math on that, I'm just short of 68 years old. So, you know, it's time for me. And boy, I've seen so much in the years that I've been a minister. And I've seen the evolution of human spirituality in that brief period of time. I mean, in the span of things, 30 years is pretty short. But I've seen that, you know, in the 80s, there were only a few, like, niche people that were into kind of new agey things. And that was my entree into a deeper spirituality than the traditional spirituality, the traditional religion I'd grown up with. And so, you know, to do something like a sweat lodge was like, and to get my aura photographed, you know, okay, start looking at possibility of past lives and, you know, reconsidering all that. And then I came into Unity and it was a rewiring of my entire way of thinking. And it was good, obviously. I mean, I stepped into full-time Unity. And in that time, when I came to my first church here in the Austin area, what was going on with people, at least in that segment of the people that I was serving, there was a whole lot of healing going on in people's physical bodies and people's physical experience. So at that time, 1992 was when I went into my first church. We were in the midst of the AIDS epidemic. There were a lot of LGBTQ people coming out for the first time and, you know, making, it was causing great tears in their families and they didn't know what to do with all of that. Let's see, there was AIDS coming out. Big emphasis at that point on recovery, you know, sobriety and getting clean. So, you know, there was a lot of healing going on, and our church in particular was kind of a clearinghouse for people at the beginning of those journeys. They were raw, and they needed comfort, and they needed an anchor, and they needed something they could hang on to. So again, I'm talking about this from my perspective at that period of time. And then it seemed like we went through a period of time where we were I'm going to call it fat and lazy in our spirituality. I know I could pick a better phrase, but none comes to mind at this point. We were kind of like, okay, cool. I think I'm getting this truth business. I think I'm getting this. The world was pretty stable, with the exception of wars going on, you know, the first Gulf War, the second Gulf War, you know, and then 9/11, which began, I'm going to say, started a major shift at 9/11. You know, who we thought we were culturally as a people, here in America in particular, in the Western world, we began to rethink that security that we'd always felt, that we were on the right side of everything and everything was going to be good. Remember those days? Can you imagine those days now and see how we... It was like a little period of reprieve before we had to dive into a deeper examination of everything. So much deeper. And so then people began to take their spirituality and let it infuse every part of their lives as much as possible. And it seems like concurrent with that was a growing polarity in this country in particular that seemed, the two sides seemed so antithetical to each other. And it's still going on. And it's still difficult. It's still difficult to know that, you know, we're in kind of a silent civil war. Brother against brother, sister against sister, family members against other family members. It's not pleasant. But do you notice that even as we're experiencing more polarity, we also have more joy? We also have more resources to take us through our challenges. I know in this community in particular, what I've seen evolve over time is moving from being a happy place to come to, which it still is, to being a place where people are unafraid to really show their true selves to each other. You know, to be in a place where you can be your good, bad, and ugly self, and know that you're accepted anyway, and to begin to taste what unconditional love looks like. To be able to see that, oh gosh, I'm way harder on myself than other people ever are. To be able to know that you can reach out to others with your vulnerabilities and your fears and the parts where we feel broken and the places where we're grieving, and we can lean into each other and know that there is a steady support there. And we can create joy with each other, and we can see how our hands work together with each other to make things happen that benefit all of us, that enrich all of us. You know, 3 years ago, Leah and I had a conversation. And I said, well, I don't know, let's see where we are in May 2020. She's like, wow, that's a long time for us not to be in church. Yeah, sure was. And it got longer. And do you just, if you haven't looked around the room, do you see, I think we've got just about every chair filled. And I think we've got some people in the fireside room. 3 years later, look at us. Look at us all here, enjoying each other. Look at us all here, united in a common thing that we might not even be able to define. We're here because something happens here that makes us bigger than we thought we were. Something happens here that we feel good about, even when we don't feel good. You know what I mean? We can walk in here and have an infusion, but part of that infusion comes because we're giving of ourselves to it. And maybe that's part of the what's changed from the old fat and lazy. Because I did experience church for a long time where people came to church to receive and just receive and then receive and receive. Because in order for it to be whole and complete, there's a giving. And the giving becomes the receiving, and the receiving becomes the giving. We're giving people the gift of allowing them to serve us, and we in turn are serving others in the many ways that our hands serve each other. And that's a beautiful thing. There was a period of time, and they're still going on, where we're trying to heal ourselves and recondition ourselves and rewire ourselves from the traditional beliefs that we had. And you guys know that Austin Presbyterian minister Jim Rigby is one of the people that I love to read. Jim is out there and being loud about his spirituality that flies in the face of traditional religion. He is tearing down those things. He is doing the same work that the late Bishop John Shelby Spong did through his Episcopalian path. And it just so happens that I found things from both of them this week that just kind of fell into my lap. One of the phrases that Jim used this week was in talking about the ancient predatory religion that we all seem to have come from. Wow, listen to that phrase, ancient predatory religion. Who needs it? Not us. Can I get like about 1,000 amens? We are people who embrace all people. Not because we have some kind of a political designation, but because it's the right thing to do. So we are all healing from our ancient predatory religion that we might have come out of. Unless you're one of the rare few who grew up in a healthy spirituality. We have a couple of people who grew up in unity. Lucky. So their spirituality has always had a firm and steady base in the relationship with the divine. The relationship with that which is greater than ourselves has been nurtured and blossomed over a lifetime. The good news is we don't have to have had it in our lives in order for it to make a difference now. It doesn't take as long to incorporate a different relationship with God as we spent not having one. You understand what I'm saying? It's not a linear thing. It's an all at once. One might even say everything everywhere all at once. But but then again, one might not. So this is what Bishop Spong in a book called The Fourth Gospel. And I'd like you to take these words on for yourselves, because I guess I have either not enough words or too many words to say to you what I hope for you and what I pray for you and what I wish for you from this day forward. World without end, amen. Sorry, there it is. You know, I could say things like, keep taking care of each other, keep being here. Don't wait for a major event to fill the chairs. You know, keep being here because people, you're needed. We need each other. Stay the course, keep your minds and hearts open. I don't know. I could probably go into a gift shop and find plenty of little placards you could hang on your wall. Live, laugh, and love, you know, do those things. I noticed, Jan, do you know what's on the back of your jacket? No. I mean, it might be there. But what I saw when you were standing there is it says, don't be afraid. That's on your jacket. Don't be afraid. Fear kills us. Don't be afraid about me leaving. This is normal. This is natural. This is what we do. And there's not like, if you hang on here, there's no place for this. You know? So, you know, at least open it up a little bit. And you should know. People have asked me, oh, well, you'll come back and sit in church with us, won't you? I won't. I can't. The natural progression, the normal thing, is that we take our leave of each other in this relationship. And I am able to give the gift of allowing you to find that next thing. Because that's empowerment. That's a deep belief in you. I know who you are. I know who you are. And so there must be a space for someone wonderful to walk into. And so I leave that space. That's normal. But above all, here's what I wish for you. This same thing. Jack Spong said, I have wrestled with the Christian faith for all of my now 82 years. He has since recently passed on. And I find myself at this moment, to the surprise of my traditionalist critics, I'm sure, more deeply committed to my Christ and to my faith than ever before. When you hear the word, my Christ, please don't hear my Jesus. It might be my Jesus to you, but the Christ is something greater than the historical man who lived. The Christ is the spirit in you that's listening to me right now, the spirit that's weaving all of us together, individually into a collective. So when you hear the Christ, it is that relationship. My commitment is, however, to a new understanding of both the Christ and Christianity. I am increasingly drawn to a Christianity that has no separating barriers and that does not bind me into the creeds of antiquity. It is a Christianity that cannot be contained by or expressed through traditional liturgical forms. I have no desire to find certainty or to embrace religious security. I choose rather to live in the unbounded joy of embracing the radical insecurity that is the nature of human life, and by doing so to discover that I am, in fact, walking the Christ path. I'm hoping that in my retirement, I'll be able to express myself as beautifully as that. This is what I wish for you, that you live in the unbounded joy of embracing the radical insecurity that is the nature of human life, and by doing so, discover that you are, in fact, walking that perfect path. That is my prayer with and for you. And it will continue to be so when I don't stand in this place. You will walk around in my heart forever. You were walking around in my heart before I got here. That's how we found each other. and there is someone walking around in your heart right now that has not yet found their way here, look for them. Listen for them. Embrace them. Do for them what you have done for me. Love the way you do. Serve the way you do. Show your hearts the way you do. Give your unique gifts the way you do. Do those things. I love you. Love you forever. Why don't we meditate for a moment? Whatever it is you're feeling right now, embrace it as part of your beautiful, imperfectly perfect humanity. Be not afraid. If tears fall, let them fall like rain that nourishes and nurtures the earth. If you feel lost, remember that you're not alone, ever, ever. The guidance and the comfort of spirit is less than a breath away. So breathe now. Breathe now. All the places where your body might be contracted, let them relax. Let your breath be the breath of God that infuses you with life, that infuses you with comfort and healing, that infuses you with joy and inspiration, that infuses you with trust. Let your heart stay wide open, for nothing can hurt you. Let your heart stay open so that the light not only comes in but goes out. And because we are people who have hearts large enough to contain life, even in this very precious and intimate moment we share, we extend our blessing to the world. That's what we do. And so extend your blessing to those who are hungry or afraid, who are in the midst of strife in their country or in their home. Extend your blessing. Let it fly around the world to places recovering from recent natural disasters. And now, let your blessing extend to those whose hearts are closed, whose minds have contracted. who are still in the grip of that ancient predatory religion. Wherever it is, so that they might know freedom. And for the very ability to do this, let your heart be grateful. And breathe. And in a very quiet moment, with the God of your understanding, say thank you. And so it is. And so it is. And amen. Thank you.